Proverbs 27 tonight, please. Proverbs 27. Begin reading in verse number 6. Proverbs 27, 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go unto thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse unto him. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which betrayeth itself. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, in the passage that I've read tonight, on a number of occasions, the word friend was repeated. Tonight, I want to preach a message to you concerning your accountability. And, of course, this is a message within our study on the home and the husband and his accountability to the Lord. And we have looked at four sections up to this time. We've looked at his responsibility or accountability to the Lord in the area of faithfulness to the Lord concerning his family and concerning the church. We looked at his firmness of convictions. We looked at his fulfillment of responsibility in three major areas, one in the area of civil government, one in the area of workplace, and one in the area of the world. And then the last time we were in this study, we looked at his accountability in the area of financial stability. Tonight, I want to look at our accountability in the area of friendships. As the last verse that we looked at here in verse number 17, our friendship should be a friendship that sharpens us, not one that dulls us. Should be one that sharpens us. And I want to look tonight at a number of different areas concerning friendship. Let's ask the Lord's blessings. Father, we ask you to take the message tonight, work in our hearts, help us to see how we are responsible for the people that we put around us. And Lord, help us to realize how our example to our family may mean who our children decide to have as friends. We pray, Father, that you would bless us and help us to see what the Bible says. In Jesus' name, amen. The word friend in the Bible is used 53 times. The word friends, plural, is used 49 times. And it's quite interesting as you look through Scripture to see all the different verses that apply to friends. Many of them just make a passing, a statement, so-and-so was so-and-so's friend. But when you start digging into the life of that person that's mentioned, you find that many times they were not good friends and they did not help the other person's life to any advantage. But it's sort of interesting, as I've studied friendships and friends, it's men and women choose friends for different reasons. Women want somebody that will listen to them and that they can talk to. Men, when they pick friends, they want somebody they can do things with. Two different directions, you know. And in the process of men doing things together, then they'll get around to talking. But women, they want to get down to the talking. They want a person that they can talk to at the beginning. And then that may result in doing things together, but it's almost two different opposite end directions that they pick friends. But, you know, sort of interesting, too, is sometimes people befriend you that you would not pick to be a friend, you know. Sometimes my daddy used to call them fair weather friends, you know, that this sort of hook onto you and you don't know why until later on you find out that they were trying to get something out of you. And, you know, everybody has had that, I'm sure, at some point in time where somebody hooks on to you and then you find out down the road they only hooked on to you because they were trying to set you up to aid their own purposes for whatever. And there's one instance in the Bible where that's made reference to, where it talks about somebody using them as a friend. Sort of interesting. Sometimes you feel used, don't you? Well, I think when it comes to friends, we should seek not to use someone else. And we should not allow someone to use us at the same time. That's not being a friend if you allow them to use you for their own benefits. But anyway, we'll look at some of these ideas as we go through. Someone said a friend is one who walks in when everyone else walks out. That's a pretty good definition. Someone has said a friend is a single soul in two bodies. And we'll look at a verse that sort of makes that application a little bit later. Someone said a friend is someone that knows you and loves you anyway. Yep. Someone says a friend is one that never gets in the way except when you're heading down. I really like that statement. That's a good statement. A friend is one, though you have made a fool of yourself, they don't consider it permanent. And that's good as well. But, you know, a question would bring then, what is truly friendship? As you look up the words in the Bible, and specifically in the New Testament, you find the word that's translated friends in the New Testament is also the same word that's translated love in a number of occasions. It's the phileo. And it's a word that simply means loving or devoted or beloved or dear. It carries the idea of being in a loving, close, intimate relationship with someone. And then there's a number of people all through Scripture that have been referred to as friends. Sort of interesting. Three times in Scripture, Abraham is called the friend of God. Moses is also one time called the friend of God. I think all of us would love to be called the friend of God. Be interesting to know if that's what God would call us, his friend. But a number of aspects. The first thing I want to look at when it comes to friend is what I call the purpose of friendship. The purpose, and I want to look at the Scripture and let the Bible tell us what the purpose of friendship is, and I think we can draw it out of the different passages, and I want you to start by turning with me to Exodus chapter 33. We're going to do a good bit of running around in Scripture and make some applications when it comes to the purpose of friends. Now, when I say that, I want the Bible to show us the principle and the purpose of friendship and not society, not our culture. Not our own humanistic thoughts. You know, you talk to somebody, what kind of friend do you want? And you can get all kind of descriptive ways, descriptive ideas of what kind of person, what kind of characteristics a person should have to be your friend. But when it comes down to the kind of friend you need and the kind of friend I need or the kind of friend that I want, I should want what the Bible says that a true friend is. And I should seek, and this is one of the big things about the message tonight, we should all seek to be the kind of friend that the Scripture puts the characteristics forward for us too. Exodus 33, notice verse number 11. It says, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. The first characteristic, first purpose of friendship that I see is communication. Having someone that you can talk to. As this said, as you do your friend face to face. You know, when it says face-to-face, that carries forth an idea of agreement. It carries forth the idea of time being spent with someone long enough to communicate with someone. I know a lot of people that when they come talk to me, they don't hear me talk because I don't have an opportunity to talk because they talk all the time. You know? And when they get through, I'm wondering, why did they come to talk to me? Because they never wanted to hear ever. I mean, I had to interrupt them to get anything said, you know. And I hate to interrupt somebody when I'm talking. But the idea here, face to face, carries forth a two-way conversation, back and forth communication. It's the idea here about this as you talk face to face. That same principle is given, and I won't ask you to turn. But in John 15:15, the same idea again is a purpose of friendship is communication. Christ told his disciples, "I've called you friends." Why have I called you friends? Because I have communicated to you everything that my Father has given unto me. It carries the idea of communicating things back and forth to one another. And if we're going to be a friend and have a friend, he should be and we should be someone that can freely and willingly communicate that which is important to each other. From Christ calling his disciples friends, he had communicated great amounts of truth to them. And now here in this passage, again, God was going to talk to Moses as you would talk to your friend. Now, question, was the things that God was going to communicate to Moses, were they of importance? You say, well, of course they were. God was speaking. Well, anytime we speak, it should be important. And what I'm trying to say is our communication shouldn't be trivial. It should be that which shows the purpose of a friend. And here we see one of the purposes of being a friend is communication. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter number 13. There's another verse here that shows us, I think, another principle, another purpose of being a friend, purpose of friendship. Deuteronomy chapter 13, and notice verse number 6. It says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly to say, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. Now, the part that I want you to see in this verse is the part that says, thy friend, which is as thine own soul. Here's a soulmate. You've heard that statement, have you? Every now and then, you might meet someone and you might say, that person is my soulmate. Well, here, that's another aspect, another purpose of friendship, not only communication, but number two, companionship. Companionship. And not only just any kind of companionship, but common ground companionship. I mean, when you find someone that thinks like you do in many ways. Now, your friend shouldn't think exactly like you do in everything. There never will be any sharpening in that situation. But there must be a common ground of belief, or you're not going to want to be around them. I mean, if someone has a whole different standard of living, a whole different standard of dress, and a whole different, I mean, let's just say, do you think you're going to be friends with somebody if you love pizza and they hate pizza, are you going to be good friends with that person? Chances not, because when you get together, you're going to eat the same thing. You're going to want to enjoy the same food together. You know, well, I'm not eating that, right? It's grounds for, like I said, grounds for separation. You want to have, if you're going to have a friend over your house, you don't want him like Coke and you like Pepsi, you know. It just doesn't seem to go together, you know. Well, I won't drink that. I'll bring my own Coke, thank you. No, you're not going to be friends unless they're common ground. And here, this verse, this little thought, which is thine own soul. There's a common ground companionship. There's a purpose of friendship. Number three, Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. We're going to be in Proverbs a lot tonight. Proverbs is just absolutely covered with principles that show us a lot about friendship. Proverbs 27. We started with this verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The third purpose that I see for friendship is not only communication and common ground companionship, but number three, correction. We need people around us that can correct us when we're wrong and can correct us in such a way that we still love them. You know, some people that can correct you, they just grate on your nerves and you just absolutely want to, you want to pull their eyeballs out by the time they're through talking with you. And you have to muster every spiritual ounce of spirituality you have not to do that. But a friend's not that way, is it? A friend can sit you down and talk to you and point out areas of your life that's not right and should be changed. And when you get through, you think, man, I just love him. You know, when he just got through scalding you and you still love him when he's finished, that's a friend. Right? And another purpose of friendship is correction. This is an interesting saying. It says a true friend always stabs you in the front. That's right. And a man that will stab you in your back is not your friend. But one will look you right in the face and tell you where you're wrong. That's a man that loves you. And a man that loves you enough to take the chance of you getting mad at him. You know, When it comes to this correction, the faithful are the wounds of a friend, that's exactly the time where we should be speaking the truth in love, isn't it? Where you can, again, sit down and be corrected. The fourth purpose, look down in verse number 9 of this same chapter. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Another purpose of friendship, communication, companionship, correction, and counsel. Where you would hear hearty. That word hearty carries an idea of zealousness, a zeal. You know, I hate to go to somebody and say, well, what do you think about it? Well, I don't know. Well, don't you have something? No. I hate to go to somebody and ask them that, and that's the way they respond to me. You know, if I go to somebody and ask them a question, I'd like for them to have an answer and say, well, you know, I just know. Him haw beat around the bush and give you nothing. You know, that's like biting into something you're going to eat and find out it's nothing but air. That's one reason why I've never liked cotton candy. I absolutely, from the time I was a little boy, I remember my daddy took me to the fair and he bought me a cotton candy and I ate half of it and gave it the rest of it to the horses in the farmer's market barn because I hated it. I mean, it's nothing to it. It just evaporated in your mouth and I want some substance, you know. Never did like air-filled sugar. Now, I like sugar, both kinds, but not air-filled sugar. But anyway, counsel. Turn over to Job chapter number 6 and notice a verse here in Job chapter number 6. There's just many directions and many different verses that we could go with some of these. But in Job chapter number 6, notice verse number 14. It says, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed him from his friend. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. A friend should show pity. He should help him in a time when you say you're thinking you're doing something stupid and you're forsaking the fear of the Lord. A friend should show pity and give him counsel that helps him and brings him back. You know, over in Acts chapter number 19, there in a situation in one of the towns, Paul was getting ready to go into a theater to help solve a situation. And some of his friends said, no, we don't want you going in there. And then a chief ruler of one of the area came and said, no, don't go in there. Gave him counsel that very likely may have saved his life at that time. He said, well, that was the sovereignty of God. Nonetheless, God used people to give the hearty counsel that which needed to be heard at the time. But that's a purpose of friendship, is being there to give counsel when counsel is needed. And by the way, all of us need it from time to time. You're not going to be the one always giving counsel. You're going to be needing to get it yourself along the way. So another purpose of friendship, of friends, is counsel. Proverbs 27, notice verse number 17 again. See another area of purpose. 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Another purpose of friendship is constructiveness. What's the purpose of sharpening iron? So it will be able to be used. So it can do something. When I was on the farm growing up, we used to cut a lot of bushes. I mean, we had literally hundreds of miles of road bank and creek bank on 4,000 acre farm that I was raised on. I mean, cross fences, roads going everywhere, creeks running everywhere, and it was my job to keep all those things cleaned in the summertime. I mean, I've swung a bush act I could swing it in my eyes closed and cut stuff down. But one thing I learned early on, a dull bush axe does not cut very well. And you can beat till you're blue in the face and you'll not get anything cut down. But if you get that thing nice and sharp, it's like slicing through a bush or a tree. It's like slicing through butter if it's sharpened right. And if you sharpen it right, it will stay sharp a long time unless you hit rocks. Now, one thing about sharpening iron. When you sharpen iron, sparks fly. Friction takes place. And when you try to sharpen the iron of your friend, you can expect things to get heated sometimes. You ever taken a bush axe or an axe and stick it to a grinding wheel and then touch it to see it sharp? What happened? Well, did you cut yourself? No, I burnt myself. Y'all looking at me like you never experienced that. You know, when you're sharpening something on a grinding wheel, that piece of metal that you're sharpening gets very hot. As a little boy, I used to watch that thing turn all different colors. Used to love to watch it turn colors. And my daddy got on to me one day. He said, "Boy, you're going to take the temper out of that thing." And what that means is you'll make it soft, and where you least little thing will take the sharp edge off of it. So he wouldn't let me do that, even though I love to watch that thing turn color. You know, it gets a bright red. You don't want to touch that. But constructiveness, that's a purpose of friendship, to help your friend be constructive, be able to do something in a way that's easier. John 3, verse 29 and verse number 30 is an illustration of this, where John the Baptist came on the scene with Christ, and what did he say? And what he was asked by some of the people, "Aren't you upset that this other person's coming on the scene?" He said, "You don't understand. I'm a friend of the bridegroom, and it rejoices my heart that he's here. I must decrease, he must increase," is what John the Baptist said. That was a true description of the purpose of a friend, is to build the other person up, not yourself. That's what John the Baptist wanted to do. Wanted to make them constructive, and that's exactly what verse number 17 is saying. Make your friend constructive. Build him up. Make him sharp. Now, how are you going to do that? Sometimes that means you're going to have to tell somebody, "Hey, you know, that's not a real good characteristic to have in your life." You ever thought about that? You ever thought about how that characteristic in your life is going to hinder you down the road somewhere? That's exactly what may have to be done. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. And notice what Solomon here in chapter number 4 says about friendship. Verse number 9. Two are better than one. You say, "What does that have to do with friendship?" That's the whole idea about having a friend, isn't it? So there'd be two of you instead of one. Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow or his friend. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now what is he saying? He's saying that a second person can help one person be more constructive than he would ever be by himself. You can take two people, put them together to work, and those two people will do more than three people will by themselves. If they're the right kind of people. If they're truly helping each other to be the best that they can be. And another purpose for friendship is constructiveness. Next, another idea, another purpose for friendship is not only communication and companionship and correction and counsel and constructiveness, but another one is confidence. Confidence. Over in 2nd, you don't have to turn there, in 2 Samuel chapter 15, passage there in verse 32-37, we find a man named Husai. Husai is a friend, one of David's mighty men, but at the same time, he was a friend to David. In more than one place there, you go over to chapter 16, in verse 16 to 17, again, it's pointed out, even Absalom knew that he had been a friend to his dad. What you find there in chapter 15, David asks Husai to go and feign before Absalom that he's leaving David and he wants to come and serve under Absalom so he can trick Absalom. So he can give him advice that would not be good, so again, that David would not be killed. And that's exactly what takes place. Do you think David had confidence in Husai? Do you think David could trust this man? Sure he could. Now, do you think that David could trust Jonathan? See, it is a nice thing to be able to have confidence in a friend. That you know that when you're having a hard time, they're not going to run over. "Did you know that so-and-so, he's in terrible shape. You know that? I mean, run you down behind your back." David had confidence in these men. It fulfills a principle that's in Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times. Not just when fair weather is around. Not just when, and by the way, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, has a lot to say about friendship when wealth or gifts and things like that are being given. Those are fair weather friends when they're only your friend because they're getting something out of you in the process. That's no true friendship, and the purpose of friendship is so you can have confidence in people. And that same principle is in Psalms 41:9. There it says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted." You should be able to trust a friend. If he's your friend, you should be able to have that type of confidence. One more purpose of friendship. Number 7, comfort. Proverbs chapter 18, please. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Comfort. Isn't it? Being around a person that is your friend, that sticks closer, say, than a brother, doesn't that bring comfort to your heart? Over in 2 Timothy, for the sake of time, we won't turn there, but 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, Paul describes Onesiphorus. And there he talks about how this man was often refreshed him or comforted him. And the same type of principle is in Acts 28. And actually, there's more than one place there in the book of Acts where it describes Paul when he went to a different area. His friends refreshed him or comforted him. He could go to them and in his travels, and he knew that he could spend the night there, knew that he could take a bath, and knew he could get a good night's rest or some good food, and even get provisions to help send him on his way. Those people comforted him and, you know, took away worry that may be from a natural standpoint and comforted his heart. Another purpose of friendship is comfort. Second thing I want to deal with tonight, not only the purpose of friendship, but the picking of friends. Now, we could go through, we'd go to Genesis 38, and there we could deal with a man named Adullah that was a friend to Judah that helped, encouraged him, or even took part in the fact of him going into Tamar thinking that she was a prostitute. Didn't discourage him, even took part in, you know, going and sending his pledge by this man. So clearly Adullah was not a good friend. We go to 2 Samuel there in chapter 13. We'd see there that there was a friend named Jonadab that was not a good friend to Amnon. And you know, gave him advice on how he could defile his own sister. That's not a good friend, is it? But Proverbs is covered, and I want to quickly do this. Proverbs chapter 1, I'm only going to read one or two verses in line with all this. There's a lot more verses, but notice verse number 10 of chapter 1. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." You do not need a friend like that. Notice chapter number 4 and verse number 14. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." You do not need a friend like that. Notice chapter 20 of Proverbs. And I'm skipping a number of places. Listen, the book of Proverbs describes all kind of men, such as the sluggard and the slothful and the drunkard and the fool and the liar and the evil man and the wrathful man, and over and over and over it gives different. Don't need to make friends with any of those. Chapter 20 and verse number 19, it says, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." You don't need to be friends with a person like that. Chapter 22 and verse 24. "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." Notice chapter 23 and verse number 20. "Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh." Verse number 21. "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Chapter 24 and verse number 21. "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." It's a good thing to have a conservative friend. Really. What do we talk about change? The liberal person is the one that wants to make all kind of changes. The conservative person wants to keep things sort of like they are. And it tells you here not to have a liberal friend. Chapter 25, please, and verse number 18. "A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow." Then it says, verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And everybody I know really loves a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Those type of people should not be your friends. Chapter 26, notice verse number 20. 26, 20. Where no wood is, there is the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Shouldn't be around a talebearer, someone that's causing strife. Now, all those people, you don't need to pick your friends from those type of people. And I'll look at one verse. Go over to chapter 13. Notice something here. All the others we are to reject. Here, and there's many other verses. For the sake of time, I won't go there. But in Proverbs chapter 13, notice verse number 14. The law of the wise is the fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Notice verse number 20. He that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Go back to verse number 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool lieth open his folly. I mean, who should, if you're going to reject some, who should you receive as your friend? This wise, prudent man. That's the type of person you should pick as your friend, someone that's wise and someone that's prudent. You know, we could go to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and chapter number 20, and we could deal with David and Jonathan. It doesn't tell us on what basis they picked each other as friends. But nonetheless, they were good friends to each other. They were a great blessing. Jonathan advised David on many occasions in a way that would be right even to his own hurt. Right? That's the type of friend you need. It's somebody that like that that's going to advise you for right, even if it means hurt from themselves. But picking up a friend is very important. You pick the wrong kind of friend, and it's going to affect your life. I have seen a number of times two men, both saved men, good men, but when they came together as a friend, they were bad for each other. A number of years ago, I had two young men that were both members of Tri-City Baptist Church. Both of them went out into the ministry, and they called me. One called me one day, another one called me the next day, saying, you know, Pastor Camp, we want your advice. We're thinking about, one was pastor and one was an assistant pastor, stayed away, and they said, I think I'm going to call so-and-so and ask him to come be my assistant. What do you think? I said, it won't work. I said, as a matter of fact, I think it would be bad for your ministry and for you personally. And I told the other man when he called me and asked me what I thought, I told him the same thing. And they said, why do you think that? I said, because y'all have never been good for each other. I said, well, long as you're apart, fine. But whenever y'all get together, I said, y'all end up fussing and fighting like two brothers. I said, you do not need that in the ministry. You can't have that in the ministry. Well, they ignored my advice. They went ahead and did it, and it lasted less than 6 months. They were fussing and fighting, and it spilled over into the church. They ended up separating. It caused problems in the church. Both of them ended up leaving that church. One went pastored another state. One went to be an assistant in another state. And as long as they were apart, they did super. The Lord blessed their ministries, but anytime they came together, they ended up fighting like cats and dogs, and they are still not the kind of friends that they were before they came together as assistant. Well, it's just sometimes some people are just not good for each other. And what do? You need to evaluate that and say, is so-and-so good for me? Is he a good friend to me? I mean, he might be a good guy all by himself, but when he comes together, he's not a good friend for you. You need to evaluate that when it comes to picking your friends. Number three, and quickly tonight in closing, not only the purpose of friends and the pickings of friends, but the preservation of friends. How do you, once you get a friend, you keep a friend? You know, I've talked to people over the years, and they said, so-and-so used to be my friend. Well, don't you just despise hearing a statement like that? Don't you despise it in your own life when somebody used to be your friend and now they're no longer your friend? And sometimes you do everything you can to keep a friend, but you never know why they cease to be your friend. You ever had that happen? I'm sure all of us have had that happen. But when it comes to you and it comes to me, how do you preserve a friendship? Turn back to Proverbs 18. And notice verse number 24 again, please. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Two aspects of this. The first one, if you're going to preserve a friendship, it's the same way you get one, and that is by friendliness yourself. I read a little poem that it says goes like this. I went out to find a friend, but could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. How How are you going to preserve a friendship? By being friendly. By taking the seven principles that we looked at the purpose of friendship and always applying them in your life for your friend. Now, you can't control how a person friend treats you, but you can control how you treat the other person. And if you treat the other person with the principle, biblical principles of friendship, and if they won't be your friend, guess what? God may have just showed you that you don't need that person as your friend. But friendliness is the first aspect. Notice chapter 27. See the second aspect of preservation. 27 in verse number 10. It says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is nearer than a brother far off." Not only the first principle of preservation is friendliness, the second principle of preservation is faithfulness. Faithfulness. "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not." Don't turn your back on a friend because he may tell you something that you don't like or do something that you don't like. Apply the principles of friendship and be faithful. Be faithful. There's all kind of verses. Chapter number 10. Go back to Proverbs chapter number 10 and look quickly at a few ideas here. Verse 12, chapter 10. "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." You know, faithfulness would where we would love our friends in a way that should. Verse number 19, same chapter. "In the multitude of words there it wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Sometimes, if you're going to be the kind of friend you should, it means talk less, listen more. Talk less, listen more. Notice also verse number, chapter 15, verse number 1. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Sometime, a friend just needs a real soft answer. Verse number 18, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." You know, the faithfulness on our part, faithfulness not only to the friend, but to biblical principle, will preserve friendship. There's a lot of other verses I could look at, but for the sake of time, I won't. But I close with this thought. What a friend we have in Jesus. I'm thankful for that little song, for in that little song, definitely puts forth many principles of friendship. But we have a grave responsibility to make sure that we are the kind of friend that we should be to others and that we pick and preserve friendships that we already have so they will get better and better and better and better. When you find a good friend, you better hang on to him, because good friends don't come along in life very often. And you'll see that through the years, they become sweeter and sweeter. Sweeter and sweeter. Let's pray.